Hello, my name is Ron Clark, and I'm an Air Force veteran. I grew up in upstate New York in the country, similar to Bandera County. I grew up in dairy country of upstate New York, a little town on the tip of Lake Ontario called Chemung, New York. Well known for its milk, cattle, just different. So I grew up in a town very much like Bandera. So I joined the Air Force just after I turned 18 years of age. I was stationed at Lackland first. I went through basic training there, and then I went through training to become a law enforcement specialist. Well, a law enforcement specialist is exactly what it sounds like. It's a person who specializes in providing law enforcement on base. In other words, an Air Force policeman, responsible as a federal officer to protect an installation, protect all the businesses on base, protect information, protect Air Force resources, and of course, protect the families in the housing areas on an Air Force base. So after I graduated from the police academy, I went to Randolph Air Force Base, which is local in San Antonio. It's probably about 40 miles from Bandera to the north, and was stationed there as a law enforcement specialist. And this was in, I think I got there in 1981, and I left in 86 before I went overseas, which is where I really wanted to be anyhow. In order to understand the story, you need to understand a little bit about the history of Randolph Air Force Base. If you look at a map of Randolph Air Force Base, you will see that it's very symmetrical. It's very laid out kind of geometrically on the map. And the reason for this is because when they designed the Air Force Base, they actually laid down the roads before they built a single structure. And the reason they wanted this is they wanted this Air Force Base to be very distinctive because it was going to be one of the premier Air Force training bases for flying. And so at the time, they wanted it to be what was known as, quote, a showplace of the Air Force, unquote. And even today, it's known as the showplace of the Air Force. It has a lot of historic buildings. One of them that stands out, if you've ever been up that way, is the Taj Mahal, Building 100, which is the basically the base commander and wing commander's office, along with all the administrative staff. And a lot of people don't know the Taj Mahal actually houses a water tower for the base, to provide pressure for the water. But I was deployed there in order to understand what the mission is, and the mission is still the same as it was 40 years ago. The mission is to train new pilots in jet aircraft. And at the time, there were two runways. If you look at the map of the base, which you can pull up on any internet search, you'll see that there's one runway on one side of the base and another runway on the other side, and they're connected by this ramp, what we called the South Ramp because it was on the south side of the base. On the west side, at the time, of course, this was 82, 83, the Air Force aircraft that were being used for pilot training was a T-37, or the Tweet is what it was called because of the distinctive sound that it made when it flew over. And then on the east side of the base, the opposite side, that is where even today, since the 1950s, they've used the T-38 Talon jet trainer for supersonic jet training. So that hasn't changed. But what has changed is the aircraft that's used on the west side. Now they're flying over T-46 propeller-driven plane, and they fly over Medina Lake all the time in Bandera County, so you probably heard them or seen them. They usually fly two together. The funny story here, and this is the part that's hilarious, is because when you stop and think about it, we're all out here in Bandera County. We understand cattle. We understand how cattle work. But sometimes some of the people who come to be Air Force policemen are not country people. They're people who come from a city, and in this case, the airman that I'm going to talk about came from Cincinnati, Ohio, which is, a fairly large city, but certainly not country. And one of the things that often happened was is they would have to suspend flight operations because of wildlife on the runway. And when they called, the control tower called for assistance, it was our job as policemen to clear the runway of whatever the wildlife was or whatever the hazard was. And it could be a tumbleweed blowing across, which could get sucked into a jet engine. It could be a rabbit hopping across, which could be sucked into a jet engine. It could be a coyote. It could be a stray dog. Or it could be something much, much worse. And that's what we're going to talk about. So if you look at Randolph Air Force Base on the south side, Now it's all built up. You know, it's Loop 1604 and Lower Seguin Road connect with FM 1518 out there in Schertz. But back in the 80s, that was not populated. That was all country out there. There was it was surrounded by ranch land, grazing cattle, much like the outskirts of Bandera. And we actually only had three strands of barbed wire that would separate Air Force property from the cattle rancher's property. And as we all know, those three strands of barbed wire can sometimes fail for whatever reason. And one of the things that we were always afraid of was this one particular bull, and he was a Texas Longhorn, probably about 1,200 pounds. He was a big guy. And of course, he had quite the spread of horns. And one day we got a call. This would have been in May of 83, I think. And we were driving these Air Force patrol cars. And I think if you look at the picture that's associated with the story, there's a photo of me. But there's also a photo of what this patrol car looked like. It was a very, very distinctive Air Force patrol car, white with blue stripes down the side. And it had red lights on the top, a light bar, just like a civilian police officer's car does. And so we got the call for this clearing of the wildlife from the runway. And when we got there, they did not tell us what was there. But what we saw was our friend Ferdinand, the 1,200-pound Texas Longhorn, who had already decided that the grass was certainly greener on the Air Force side of the fence versus his side of the fence. And if you've ever tried to move a bull that wanted to eat grass, fresh grass, that he wanted, you know that can be a challenge, okay? Unfortunately, he was right in the flight path for arriving departing aircraft. So that's a hazard. So all Air Force flight operations on the West Runway, which was the T-37 Tweet Runway, were suspended. Nobody could land. Nobody could take off. People were in a holding pattern. They were starting to divert aircraft to the east side, because Ferdinand was not going to move. And so they called myself and this new airman who'd only been with the Air Force maybe 6 months to a year. I know he only had one stripe, so he was there at least 6 months, but he was still relatively new, to clear Ferdinand off of the approach path for these T-37s. And here we are with our nice blue and white patrol cars honking our horns, and he's just looking at us like, yeah, I ain't moving. So what did the airman decide to do? Well, you have to understand that the Air Force patrol car was designed to look just like a civilian patrol car, in the fact that the civilian patrol cars off base had the same emergency equipment as the ones on base, because we designed our Air Force patrol cars to work together with civilian police departments. And in this case, at Randolph, it was the Universal City Police. So Air Force patrol cars were designed with the same emergency equipment as that local police department. Again, so they could work together in emergency situations. So why is this important? In the 1980s, Universal City had patrol cars that had red emergency light bars, or red and white emergency light bars, on the top of the patrol car. And of course, we matched those. So our Air Force patrol cars were exactly the same. They had red or red and white light bars on top. The police jargon we used at the time was reds, quote, reds, unquote, reds, meaning turn on your reds to activate the light bar or turn off your reds to stop them. Well, we all know, you know, when we hear the term, I saw red, we're referring to a bull. Okay, so can you see where this is going? Those who have bulls know exactly what's about to happen. For the rest of you, remember this lesson in bull and Air Force public relations, because in this case, the Air Force did not win. Now, the airman that was new was responding along with me. And as he was approaching, we tried honking our horn. We tried herding Ferdinand with our blue and white six-cylinder horses. And that had absolutely no effect whatsoever. So what did the airman decide to do? He did what he had always done with the other wildlife, the stray dogs, the stray cats, the stray coyotes. He turned on his lights, and those lights were red. And he turned on his siren. And that didn't do anything but tick Ferdinand off. Because what did Ferdinand do? He dropped his head and charged. And the right horn of this huge 1,200-pound Texas Longhorn hooked the patrol car in the front right by the grill and the headlight, and he just jerked his head to the left and literally ripped the grill, the headlight assembly, and the entire right fender off of the car, and at the same time flattened the right front patrol car's tire. And the entire time I'm screaming on the radio, turn off your reds, because like my fellow Bandera County residents, I grew up in cattle country, so I knew that you didn't show red to a bull. Ultimately, the patrol car wasn't destroyed, but it did sustain some damage. Now, Ferdinand did not want to move for those blue and white ponies at all. He did not want to move. But he was persuaded to move when the Air Force fire truck pulled up and started spraying him with a high-pressure hose. Ultimately, what happened was is we got Ferdinand back to his side of the fence, which he had broken through. And, of course, the rancher had let his bull off of his property and had to pay for the damaged patrol car, which was repaired and put back in service. Coincidentally, and I don't know why, but over the next 3 months, they began to build a 6-foot-high chain-link Air Force fence across the entire south side of the base. I guess they figured building the fence was cheaper than destroying patrol cars or interfering with flight operations. So that's a lesson in 1,200 pounds of irritated bull versus the Air Force. And in this case, the Air Force lost. And that's a veteran story. Thanks for listening.